Amen. Well, let's turn in our Bibles this evening to the book of Genesis, chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, we'll just read one verse to begin with tonight. And then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Genesis chapter number 2. All the way back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Why don't we read verse 7 aloud together on 2? 1, 2. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your precious word. Lord, help us, we pray, to build our lives this year upon the truths of your word. Lord, help us, we pray, to make right decisions as we plan for the year. Lord, help us, we pray, to continue to allow the Holy Spirit of God to bring your word to mind. And Lord, we know that though we so often devise our ways, Lord, you direct our paths. Thank you, Lord, for that precious promise. Help us, dear Lord, to allow you to direct us tonight through your word. And may we be yielded to your direction and your will for this year until you come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, it was wonderful this morning during the preaching of God's word just to be reminded that the Lord knows what we need in the month of January. Amen. When the new year starts, I'm sure you're like me. You think about the year ahead. You think about what's in store. And we all have the same desire, do we not? We want this year to be better than the last. We want to go further in our Christian life. We want to see God's. We want to see more of the Lord's blessings. We want to reach more souls for Christ. Amen. We want the Lord's and need the Lord's leading and help in our lives. And we need to be careful, of course, in those desires to make right decisions for the Lord. Recently, heard about a definition of foolishness, and it's this: doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And you know, isn't that true during the beginning, the early part of the year? We have a desire for new and better things to happen, but so often we get stuck, don't we? We get stuck in the same thing over and over again. We're just doing the same thing. We're stuck in the old habits, in the old ways of thinking. And praise God, we can come back to His Word and be reminded about what life is all about. And that's what we're going to do tonight from the book of Genesis. We're going to go back to the basics. Amen. You know, what we read in the book of Genesis and what we see here in this first book of the Bible are not things that surprise us. They're not new to us. We've heard them all before, and yet you and I can be so forgetful, can't we? We can be so forgetful about the basic truths of life. So in this book of beginnings, the book of Genesis, this evening we are going to look at God's master plan for life. How many of you are glad this evening that God has a plan for our lives? And aren't you thankful that God has given us His Word to lead us and to guide us? I remember recently when we were down on our break, we went down south to visit my parents. They had just moved into their new house, and I wanted to help my dad out with something around the house, so we decided to build a shed. I had built different things before, and my dad, he's the handyman. He's built boats, and he's built renovated caravans. He's the builder in the family, and we set out together to build a shed. We thought it would be simple, but how many of you have ever opened up the instructions to anything like that before and realized that this was going to be a bigger job than you thought? So there we were with this new shed, all these pieces and parts. It looked like 100 different screws and bolts and nuts. And there we were studying these instructions. Now, just like many different things today, the instructions aren't as clear, or they don't seem to be as spelled out as you would like them. They try and cut costs on the instructions too these days, looks like. So you're looking in this instruction little leaflet book, and you're looking where to start, and you need to find panel 1A, and the arrow doesn't look like it's seemingly pointing the right way, but finally you find the first piece, and you get started on building this shed. So there we were, working on this shed, step by step, following the instructions, but then we got stuck. The instructions didn't seem to make sense. They didn't seem to be able to be followed. So what we did is what we all do as men, amen, well, we follow our intuition. Hey, we know how this works. We can fix this up. And anyway, we've got the drill. We can make our own holes, amen. We'll put this shed together. But you know what we soon found out as we were building this shed? That the further you got away from the instructions, the manual, the plan, the further away from putting that shed together we got. Now, we got further down the track following our own intuition, but suddenly we realized we put things in the wrong order. The corners didn't join up, and there were some interesting, complicated corner pieces that needed to fit together perfectly in order to complete that final, complete shed. So what we needed to do was to undo the bolts that we had put in, undo those pieces, and go back to the plan. And isn't that so often how our lives are like? You know, we drift off the plan of God and we end up finding ourselves in a bit of a mess. And it takes us a little while to backtrack, and what we need to do to avoid that is stick to the plan of God. Amen? We need to stick to the Word of God. You see, God has a master plan for our lives. And He's doing a work, as we've heard this morning, in our lives to perfect us. And what we are responsible to do is to stick to the plan. And there are some basic truths, four of them, that we are going to look at tonight, that if you and I get away from these four truths, we will find ourselves very quickly out of the perfect will of God, out of the perfect blessing of God. And God doesn't want us to drift away from that. So this evening, we're going to look at God's master plan for life in the book of Genesis. Notice with me the first truth we discover is right here in chapter 2 and verse 7. Now, we've already read this verse, and this point isn't new, but we need to be reminded in verse number 7, the Bible tells us that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Here we see that it is God that created man. It is not man that created God. In fact, we did not evolve from some sort of small molecular blob and develop into what we are today. In fact, the Bible tells us God created man. Amen. You might say, Pastor, that's nothing new. I know that. That's a simple truth, yes, but we need to be reminded over and over of this foundational truth in the Word of God. Because living out the fact that God created me and I am not to live independently of Him and I am dependent upon God, and in fact everything I have and everything I am is God's, will impact a whole lot on how you live this year in 2016. You see, we need to constantly remember that God created us. Now have a look what the psalmist encourages us with in Psalm 100 and verse 3. Turn with me to Psalm 100, and verse number 3. Now I know that this truth is obvious, but the question is, how often do we live according to this truth? Psalm 100 and verse number 3, notice what the psalmist says. Know ye that the Lord, He is God, and it is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. That's what we've just seen reinforced in the book of Genesis. God made us. We did not make ourselves. Now, what's the application? Verse 3, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. pasture. You see, the psalmist reminds us that we did not create ourselves. We are not self-existent. And if you follow that truth through, the Bible tells us that just like a shepherd owns his flock, we belong to God. We are God's flock. We are His possession. We are His property. Just like a flock of sheep belongs to the shepherd and he owns them, God owns us. You see, God created man. God created man. That means that God has the absolute authority and right to do with our lives exactly and only as He pleases. Now, that's not a thought that often you and I are comfortable with, isn't that true? Let's be honest. Because in reality, in our lives, it's you and I that want to make up the plan and will of our lives. As we heard this morning, we have the idea, and then we pray and we say, Lord, can you be a part of my plan, please? Lord, can you bless this plan of mine? And we even weep before the altar, do we not, Brother Burton, and say, Lord, please get in on my plan. And yet the Lord graciously and mercifully continues to work in our life to bring us to that place of surrender where we say, Lord, you made me. What would you have me to do? You see, if we are going to live out the will of God in 2016, we need to put this foundational truth back in our lives. It is God who created us and not we ourselves. He owns us and He has the right to do as He pleases in our lives. Now, what is it within us that causes us to rebel against this truth? Because at the end of the day, there is a part of us, and every single person here this evening has that part within them that says that we can live independently of God. We can make up our own lives. We can rebel against this idea that God owns us. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, the reason for that rebellion. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, the thought in our hearts that we can do as we please in our lives and even think spiritually about it and make up our own plans and our own mind about things and not follow what God wants to do, my friends, that is not a thought from God. Now that's a sobering truth. When you and I run off in our own mind with our own plans, that is not a thought or a seed of truth implanted by God. That is the result of our fallen sinful nature. That sinful nature that we see revealed in the book of Genesis, which we'll see shortly, where Adam and Eve saw the fruit. And he saw that it was a pleasant fruit. She lusted after it, and they both made a choice to reject God and to live independently from God. And you see, you too, you and I, we all have a sinful nature. A sinful nature that is still in rebellion against God. And that's why we need to put God's truths down into our lives, do we not? We need to hold to the truths of the Word of God. Because the world around us is saying this. Hey, this is my life. Isn't that the cry of the world today? This is my life. I have the right to live as I please. And sadly, as the years go by, in Christianity, that's becoming the cry as well. That's becoming the heart cry of many young people today. This is my life. I know I'm saved. I know I'm a Christian. But I still have the right to live as I please. Well, that's not true at all. In fact, that is not a thought from God. He created us and not we ourselves. Let me ask you this evening. On what basis, what foundation will you make your decisions this year? Because my Bible tells us, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen? Those old rebellious, self-centered, proud, God-rejecting thoughts have passed away. Amen? All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God is working on us to put them away. Putting away those thoughts. Putting away that rebellion. But it needs to be a choice to put God on the throne of our lives. You see, God created us. It's a simple truth, but a truth that profoundly affects our lives. What is God's master plan for life? It is this, that you and I would live out our lives as God's special created beings. God created us. We are, yes, dependent upon God, but He is the sole authority in our lives. He is our Lord. He has the right to tell us what to do. He has the right to say yes. He has the right to say no. That is God's sovereignty. As we think about how we make our decisions, I was thinking about the temptation in the garden and the fact that Satan had already fallen, had he not? Satan had already committed the first sin in the presence of God. Remember in the Bible tells us that Satan was lifted up in pride. And Satan told God what he was going to do, did he not? He said, "I will ascend. I will." We read again and again and again. What did Satan do? Well, Satan rebelled against God and he decided to reject the sovereignty of God. And Satan went his own way. Satan said, "I will." And how often do you and I say, "I will go there," or "I will do this," or "I will take this job," or "I will move there," or "I will go to that place," and we make up our own plans, and little do we know, we are not following the leading of God. In fact, you and I so often, and we need to be honest about it, are living like the devil. We live like the devil, and then we wonder why God's blessings aren't upon our plans for the new year. You see, the "I will" is not a thought from God. The "Lord, what would you have me to do?" is a submissive thought from God. God created me, and I don't have the right to live as I please. How many of you this evening struggle with that? We do. We all do. We don't like to hear the fact that we might be living like the devil, but let's be honest. That's what the devil did. He went his own way. That's what Adam and Eve did. And brethren, we need to be very careful to come back to the basics, the foundational truths of the Word of God. God created us and not we ourselves. Now, if we are a Christian, the Bible says that we have been bought with a price. Amen. In fact, as Christians, we have a much greater reason to live for God because God has bought us with a price. The Bible tells us that if we are saved, there was a time when you and I were slaves to sin. We were imprisoned in the slave market of sin. And the devil indeed was the warden of that prison. And we were in bondage. We were headed to disaster. We were headed to catastrophe. And then one day, amen, the Redeemer came on the scene. The Lord Jesus Christ, and He Himself, with His precious blood, paid the greatest price to set us free, and He bought us back to Himself. Amen. With the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and spot. Thank God for the blood of Christ. Thank God for His wonderful redemption. Yet even as a Christian, though, we can drift in our minds. We can even begin the new year, and we can start to make plans and envisage dreams, and even think that God is a part of it, and yet we have not surrendered that year to the Lord. We have not surrendered that desire to the Lord. We are not yielded to the Lord. Let me encourage you this year to remember, God created you. As a Christian, you are a new creature in Christ. Amen? You have been born again to serve the living God. And if we would just seize that truth, amen, if we would just put that truth down into our lives, brethren, I believe there would be more missionaries on the mission field, amen. There would be more pastors preaching in the pulpits around this country. There'll be more young people surrendering to the ministry than surrendering to the lusts of the world, amen. Because we remember God created me. I don't own myself. I don't own my life. God has a plan. He's got a purpose. And my responsibility is to live a life for His glory. A simple truth, but a profound truth. Let's keep moving on. Not only did God create man, notice next in chapter 2 of the book of Genesis, in verse 15, we find another foundational truth. God's master plan for life, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, notice the Bible says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." Now, we've all read these verses before, and it's wonderful to go over the Word of God every year and read our Bible through, and isn't it great that the Lord gives us new stuff every time? He speaks to us in new ways, fresh ways. The more we grow, the more He reveals and the more He speaks to us. And what a wonderful, exciting start to the new year to come back to the beginning, the book of the beginnings. And here in Genesis chapter 2, we see that God not only created man, but God chose a place for man. Very simple, but again, very profound. Now, we know that the whole world was a literal paradise. The Bible tells us in chapter 1 and verse number 31, "And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Everything on the earth was beautiful. God could have put Adam anywhere. What does the Bible tell us in verse number 7? God created man. Verse number 8, then God created a garden. He created a place for mankind to live, for Adam to live. He created a place and chose a place specifically for Adam. He created Adam, created the garden, and then He said, "Adam, this is where you will live." And He put Adam in the garden. Literally, that is what God did, didn't He? That's what we see in the Scriptures. God put Adam in a place of His choosing. Now, this is the second foundational truth that I want to encourage you to put down into your life. Not only has God created us, and we are responsible to live for His pleasure, but God has also chosen a place for you and I to live. He has chosen a place for you and I to serve. You see, the world is ginormous, if I can use that word. And you and I can live anywhere on the face of this planet. You and I can pack up our bags and buy a plane ticket and go anywhere today. That is a luxury of this generation. But my Bible tells me that God, for the Christian, has chosen a place for us to live. And it's not anywhere or everywhere in the world. It is a specific place. Now, for Adam, it was in the Garden of Eden. But for the Christian, it's in a specific place. The Bible tells us that God plants local New Testament churches all around the world. And if I can use that gardening analogy tonight, just imagine God planting local New Testament churches all around the world. And when you and I get saved, this is the exciting thing, God wants to then plant us in the place of His choosing, in the place of service, in the place of His glory. You see, it's not anywhere in the world. Now, for Adam, it could have been anywhere. But God said, "Adam, you're going to be right here in the Garden of Eden." And that principle applies for us today as Christians. You see, our Bibles tell us, do they not, that as a local New Testament church, we are to work together for the sake of the gospel. And guess what? That place of the Garden of Eden was a place of purpose for Adam. God said to Adam, "I want you to keep the garden. I want you to till it." You see, work is not a result of the fall. God created us to glorify Him. He created us to work. And as Christians, we are to work together for the sake of the gospel. But in order for that to happen, we need to be in the right place. And in 2016, can I encourage you this evening to work out where God wants you? Please don't be one of those backpacking Christians that drift from place to place and never know what the will of God is. You see, until we are settled and until we do what the Bible tells us when it comes to the local church body, and we allow God to set us in place as members of the church and engage our spiritual gifts in the work of the ministry in that local church, you and I will not be in the will of God. That is a foundational truth to the Christian life. We need to know, where does God want us? You see, God chose a place for Adam. He has chosen also a place for us, a place of service, a place of work, amen? A place to live for Him with our lives. It's interesting as we see the garden and Adam keeping and the garden and tilling the garden and working there in the garden. You know, we have so many examples in the New Testament about Christians almost working as farmers, the Bible says. We are to sow the seeds of the gospel, are we not? We are to water those seeds. We are to work hard in the mission field that God has given us. And we are to keep the garden too, amen? We are to protect the local New Testament church from the errors of false doctrine. And that's something we do together, but it's something we can only do if we've decided to stay in the place that God has put us. Let me ask you this evening, where has God put you? Is it important? Absolutely. Absolutely. God chose a place for man. It's a place of purpose. And beloved, if God has, let me say this, and I believe I have liberty to say this, if God has in His providence put you here in Cairns, by the way, a city in a garden, isn't that what the sign says? Down south, a city in the garden. If God has providentially put you in the city of Cairns, my friends, this is the place He wants you to serve. This is the place He wants you to be. Let's not be confused about God's will. I find so often we can drift from year to year and not be living out the will of God because we haven't settled and sought after the place He wants to put us. Now, not only was it a place of purpose, but it was also a place of provision. Now, we won't look into the details, you know them already, but in the Garden of Eden, God created everything that was good for food. God provided everything they needed. Adam and Eve had everything they could eat from. God provided for all their needs. Likewise, when you and I are in the place of God's choosing, we don't need to worry whether God will provide. We can trust that He will. We know that He will. And the reminder this morning was a good one. Just because we're in the will of God doesn't mean everything will go our way. We need to be careful of the testings of faith, don't we? When our money's running low and we think God isn't providing, that's not a necessary indication for us to leave town. No, the Bible tells us we are to live by faith and not by sight. So we need to be careful to understand once we know where God wants us, we trust Him to provide. We know He will provide. Whether it's a time of leanness or a time of plenty, God will provide in that place. But we need to know. Where does God want you to be in 2016? Can I encourage you to make up your mind at the beginning of the year? Amen? And let's get busy for God at Coastline Baptist Church. Let's get busy striving together for the faith of the gospel. My friends, the Lord reminded us last year that Jesus is coming. Christ is coming again. And the Lord said, and behold, I come quickly and suddenly, and we need to be striving together because Christ is coming. He's coming. We don't have time to take our time. We don't have time to waste time. Redeeming the time, does it not say, the Bible? Redeeming the time for the days are evil. Let me encourage you. Work it out quick. I'm not here to tell you to stay. But work it out quick, brethren. Where does God want you? Now, it was a place of purpose. It was a place of provision, the place God chose for Adam. But it was also a place of God's perfect plan for Adam. Notice Genesis chapter 2 and verse 22. Notice what the Bible says. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Here we see, well, God provided Adam a wonderful wife. He provided Adam a wife. And God brought Eve unto the man. The Bible tells us that Eve was created for Adam. But let me ask the question this evening. Where did these two meet? Where did Adam and Eve meet? Now that's a message in itself, is it not? They met in the garden, the place of God's choosing, the place of God's will. You see, the Lord knew what Adam needed and whom he needed. And in God's perfect timing, God brought Adam the wife that he needed. And thank God Adam stayed in the garden. All the men this evening said, Amen. Thank God Adam stayed in the garden. You see, you might say this evening, well, Pastor, is it that important to be in the place that God wants me to be? I mean, can't I still serve God anywhere? Yes, you can, but God's perfect will is something you and I don't want to miss out on. And I'm afraid there are many young people, if I can speak to the young teenagers and the young adults tonight, there are many young people wandering the world today that they've stepped out of the garden and they're trying to find God's will when they should have stayed in the place of God's provision, God's protection, and God's purpose. You see, God knows what we need. You might say, Pastor, well, I'm just waiting. Well, let me encourage you to stay faithful. And God will bring along the one He wants for you. You just need to be in the right place. Amen? You need to know where the Lord wants you. Let me encourage you young people to stay in the garden in 2016. Let me encourage you, God has a purpose for you in that place. Let me encourage you, church family, to be settled on where God wants you this year. You might say, Pastor, look, I'm in the right place, but I'm just not happy. To be honest, I would rather not live here. I'm not happy. I'm not happy in Cairns, you might say. Well, let me encourage you to base your happiness not on the location, but on the one who desires a relationship with you and I, on the Lord. You see, Adam was happy in the garden. And it wasn't because of the fruits. It wasn't because of the trees. I dare say it wasn't because of Eve alone. It's because Adam had a relationship with God. Adam fellowshiped with God. Adam enjoyed the blessings of a close relationship with the Lord. And that's the solution to our discontent. When we're in the right place, but maybe we're not happy with what we have. We need the Lord. To walk closely with the Lord. You see, first of all, God created man, did He not? Then God chose a place for man. And by the way, yes, God can move us out of the place He puts us, but let me encourage you before we move on, God will make it very clear when He wants you to move. You see, Adam and Eve, let's say this, they knew that God wanted them to exit the garden. Is that true? They did not need to guess or wonder or take a stab in the dark at whether God wanted them to leave the Garden of Eden. Now, under the circumstances, it was because of sin. But you see, God will let us know when He wants us to leave. He will tell us. He will speak to us. He will make it clear. Church family, don't leave the garden of God's will this year. Stay where He's put you. Be sure of where He wants you. And then you'll know you'll be on the right path for the year ahead. Submitted to His Lordship. Submitted to the place of His choosing. Notice thirdly, God commanded the man. God commanded the man in chapter 2 and verse 16. As we look at this third foundational truth, as we near the end, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16, the Bible says, "And the Lord commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Verse 17, But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Now very simply, and thirdly this evening, God gave Adam His word. He commanded the man. He created the man. He chose a place for the man, and then He commanded the man. He gave Adam His word. And God's word became the foundation for Adam's life. God warned Adam about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, that tree over there, you're not to partake of it. You can eat of every other tree. You don't need that tree. But you see, God was giving Adam a choice. A choice whether he would love Him. A choice to obey Him. And we know what's attached with all that, but what I'd like to apply this evening is this. God has given us His Word as the foundation for our lives this year. The Word of God is our master plan. Amen? This is the foundation for what we do in this year. If you and I want to live out the will of God and enjoy the blessings of God and enjoy fellowship with God, we need to stay in the Word of God. In fact, let me say this, we need to obey the Word of God. We need to follow His instructions. Now, here's a question. Did God say to Adam, and He wanted Eve to know, obviously, also, did God say to them not to eat of that tree? Did He say that to them to stop them from enjoying something that they could have had? Yes or no? No. No, God told them to protect them. He said, don't eat. If you do, you'll surely die. And what did they do? They chose to eat. So you and I will be tempted with all sorts of things this year. And I'm afraid you and I still have a sinful flesh that often rebels against God and says, look, if we really live out this radical Christian life, if we really stick to the master plan of God, if we really become serious this year about living for God, then maybe somehow, brethren, we're going to miss out on the joys of life. Maybe we're somehow going to miss out on the pleasures of life. Maybe somehow we're going to miss out on all the things I could enjoy if I obey the Word of God. But is that true? Well, what we see, it's the opposite. It's the lie of the devil. You see, when we obey the Word of God, my friends, we enjoy the blessings of God. We enjoy knowing that we are in the will of God. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. His commandments are not a burden, but a blessing. See, in 2016, God's Word needs to be our foundation. Again, I know that sounds simple, but how often do we base our decisions on what God says rather than our feelings? Adam and Eve went with their feelings, did they not? They certainly didn't go with the will of God, and quickly they found themselves out of God's will, and obviously that's an understatement. The catastrophic event of the entrance of sin into the soul of man happened instantaneously. The Bible tells us that mankind fell from God, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, pain, suffering, and separation from God, and an eternal separation from God in a place of judgment called eternal hellfire. Let us be reminded this evening as Christians, we need to be careful not to play with sin in 2016. You might say, well, Pastor, it won't hurt me. My friends, yes, it will. And we need to put down into our lives the foundation of the Word of God. He has commanded us, and His commandments are not grievous. They're not grievous. In fact, living out His Word brings blessing and joy and a close relationship with the Lord. Amen. But we have His commandments. Even more so than that, and we have the written Word of God right here. What a privilege we have this year to have the Word of God. Yet will you live it out this year? Will you live according to the Word and not according to your will? You see, God commanded the man. Sin still brings shame, does it not? Sin still brings suffering. Sin still causes us as Christians to live far from the Lord. How will we live this year out? That's the question tonight. Will we live according to God's master plan? Will we live surrendered to the Lord? God has the right to tell me what to do. Lord, what will you have me to do? Will we live in the place of His choosing? By the way, we don't find God taking Adam up to the highest mountain and saying, Adam, where would you like to live? Do you like the mountains or do you like the lake country? Amen? You don't find God saying to Adam, hey, Adam, do you like the palm trees or do you like the plains? What's your choice, Adam? No, He said, Adam, this is where you're going to live. It's God's choice. And in that place, there's God's blessing. In that place, there's God's provision. In that place, there's God's purpose for our life. But we need to work it out. We need to work it out. Then God's commandments. Are we willing to live according to the Word of God? And are we willing to be reminded in the book of Genesis that you and I can't afford to go off the plan? Amen? You and I can't afford, in fact, as we've all experienced, including myself, just like putting together that shed. When we go with our own thoughts, when we go off the plan, it takes a long time to come back to where we ought to have been and then to go forward from there. Don't be set back this year. Amen? Let's move forward in 2016. Now, lastly, I'd like to encourage you with this wonderful truth as we close. Not only did God create man and chose a place for man and commanded man, but He clothed the man. And here we find a wonderful foundational truth that we must never forget as Bible-believing Christians. Notice Genesis chapter number 3 and verse 9 in closing. God clothed the man. God clothed the man. Genesis chapter number 3, look at verse 9 with me for a moment. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? This was after Adam and Eve had sinned. This was after they had suddenly been severed from their closeness to God. This was after sin came into the world. And when sin came into the world and the greatest catastrophe occurred in the history of mankind, it's not man we find seeking after God, do we? No, Adam and Eve were in hiding. They were ashamed. They knew they had offended God. They were naked. And it's not man that we see seeking after God, but what do we see instead? Isn't it a beautiful thing? What a wonderful truth. We find God, the one who had been offended, the one whose holiness had been sinned against. We find the Lord seeking after man. You see, it's the Lord God who revealed Himself here as the Redeemer, as the Savior. He sought after Adam and Eve. Notice in chapter 3 and verse 15, the promise, the first promise of God's redemption. The Bible speaks about the seed of the woman. One day there will be one that would be born of the seed of the woman, and he would bruise the head of the serpent. And here we see the first picture of the coming Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ who was born of a virgin and died on an old rugged cross, and there on that cross he shed his holy blood to pay for our sins in order that he may redeem us back to God, in order that He might buy us back from the slavery of sin that we were in bondage to, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You see, God gave Adam and Eve a wonderful promise here in chapter 3, verse 15. Now, the consequences of sin were great, but you see, the grace of God was much, much greater. The grace of God, the promise of redemption. The Bible tells us that when we come to the verse in chapter 3 and verse number 21, the Bible tells us that God clothed Adam and Eve. And Adam also, and unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And again, we see the beautiful picture of God covering their shame. And we remember here in this picture in the book of Genesis that God has to kill some animals in order to clothe their nakedness, in order to clothe their shame. And here in this wonderful verse, we see God's picture of salvation, God's righteousness given to us through sacrifice. And we remember what the Bible tells us, that the moment we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are clothed in the righteousness of God. Amen? When God looks upon our soul when we are saved, no longer does He see a sinner, wicked and rebellious, headed to a place called hellfire, but He sees a child of God, born by the blood of the Lamb and covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. See, the fourth wonderful truth in these foundational truths in God's plan is that God covers our sins. And my friends, once we are saved, our sins are covered forever. They are covered eternally. We've been redeemed by His precious blood. And what God has bought, He will never sell. Amen? What God has kept, He will never lose. We can never lose our salvation. But we can drift away from God. We can, perhaps, as many of us did last year, we can live the way we please and drift out of God's will and go our own way and live as we please. We can leave the place of His choosing. We can walk away from the Word of God. We can make up our minds and say, Lord, this is too hard a truth for me. I don't want to do it. How many times have we come across that in His Word or in the preaching? Lord, that's too much for me right now. But the wonderful truth in closing is this. God still seeks after His children. When we drift away from God as Christians, God is still seeking after us. God still wants us to come back to Him. God still wants us to put Him back on the throne of our lives. God still wants us to come back to the place of His choosing. God still wants us to come back and put His Word into our lives. God still wants to be close to us because of the blood of the Lamb. Thank God for the Word of God. Amen. Thank God the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God for His wonderful grace, for His forgiveness. Do you realize there's never a time that you drift away from God far enough that He cannot bring you back? Did you realize that God, there is never a time that you sin that God will not forgive you? Do you realize that there is never a time that you drift away from His Word or His will or His place that He does not and can miraculously and wonderfully bring you back? Thank God for that wonderful truth. Let me ask you this evening. How have you started this year off? God has a master plan, does He not? And He is worthy. He is worthy of our lives because He created us. He is worthy of the place which we live. He has chosen a place for us. He is worthy of our love for us to obey His commandments. And He is worthy of our all because He has clothed us in salvation. God is worthy. Let me encourage you this evening to live for God. Now, you can try and put a shed together without the instructions. And maybe in the end, you might be skillful enough to do that. It's just an illustration. But let me say this, the Bible tells us, not so with the Christian life. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Church family, let's live for God this year. Amen? A new theme is in front of us next week. We're not going to be focusing on the will of God, but don't leave this place this evening without saying, Lord, I want to give You my life again. Lord, You've saved me. You are worthy. You are worthy of my year, this year. Lord, I'm unworthy to serve You. Let's live for the Lord.